I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And I booked my wedding. I am getting married this year. If you're watching this on Spotify right now, my eyes just like... they're like bugging out of my head right now. I cannot believe that I'm saying that. If you are an OG listener, if you have been here from day one, are you shocked? Are you like me? Like, what the hell is happening? Because if you've been here from day one, then you know what I've been through. You've been through the trenches with me. You know that I started this show very, 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 very alone, very, 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 very single. And yeah, I cannot believe, there's just like, what's so great about this show, aside from all of the many amazing, obvious things, is how much of my life is documented through it. Of course, my life is documented through social media in general, TikTok, Instagram, whatever. But this has been my most vulnerable place, I think. I feel like the podcast is like our own little world. I feel like my community here, and when I chat with you girls, because a lot of you DM me, it's different than someone who just like follows me on TikTok or follows me on Instagram. They see more like surface level stuff, like day in my life, like, you know, whatever. Not that I even make day in my life videos. I truly don't even know why I said that. But like, I do like more simple things. Try on this outfit. Let's go to this restaurant. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm wearing. And it's not like my public diary, you know? This is. So the people who just follow me but don't listen, they just, you know, see your girl living her life. But those of you who are here, you're like my friends. Like, this community is very different. And so I just can't, yeah, believe how much of this is documented. I've, you know, I do the Flashback Friday episodes every Friday. And as I listen to those, I always hear myself talking about being single, talking about another failed dating story and what have you. And it's like, oh my God, I can't, like, I obviously remember those times, but like, I can't even resonate. Like, it feels like a different lifetime ago, you know, like, it just feels like it's so not, no longer part of my identity that like, it's hard to hear those things and still relate. It's like, oh my God, I was so sad. oh my God, I can't believe like what I said or whatever. So yes, 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 it is true. I will be getting married this year. Everyone told me it's not going to happen, you know, because we got engaged. This is the thing. Like, it's actually March 1st as I'm recording this, and we booked it like 2 or 3 days ago. So like February, I don't know, 26th or 27th. So we really were pushing it. And people were telling me since we got engaged in December that we would not find a date for this year. Because what happened was we got engaged mid-December. And when I announced it end of December, I said in it, like, I want to get married in 2025. I don't want to have a long engagement. You know, I mean, it's long in the sense that it's going to be almost a year, but it's short in the sense that people stay engaged for 2 years, a year and a half, 3 years, like, you know. And so I didn't want that. I wanted to be married by a year of being engaged. And so that's what we're doing. And so when I was saying that in December, they're like, everything is booked for 2025. You're not going to find anything. You won't be able to book anything. And right after, you know, we got engaged, what were the holidays? It was Christmas. So obviously we weren't like doing any wedding stuff. It was the holidays. Then we go away for New Year's. We went away, I think like December 27th. We were away for 2 weeks. And then when we came back, we moved. We literally moved. Like the day I came back from vacation for New Year's and I like unpacked my suitcase, I washed all my clothes, put them all, you know, in the laundry. I then packed them all away and started packing up my life. Like, didn't even put the clothes back in my drawers because it was like, okay, well, I'm moving in a few days. So it went from like the holidays to a vacation to a move. And then by the time that we moved, it was my birthday. We went away. There was no time. So it wasn't until February, you know, that we could start looking. And we toured 5 places. I'm not going to list them all. I'm not going to like give details of that sort of stuff until after like everything is all said and done. One, I don't want to jinx it. But two, I also don't want to really share like personal private information too early in advance. I'd rather wait until like then. But let's just say this. We toured 5 places. The first place that we went to, we loved. We truly loved it. And the guy said to us then, you made a mistake by coming here first because now you're not going to like anything in comparison to this. We do it the best, you know, the whole thing. And it's like, all right, that's what salespeople say, yada, yada, yada. But we continue to go tour. And it was true. Like, we did love that place the best. And it's what we wanted. And I just happened to we had already written it off because it was expensive. And it was just one of those, like, you know, we don't have to, like, it's, yes, we love it, but, like, we could do something else. Like, it's okay, you know? Like, we had already kind of, like, started planning for another place. The third place that we toured, we were like, okay, we'll probably book this one. 5th place, we actually loved as well, but they had, like, no options. So after all 5, and we were, like, ready to book the third, I was like, I'm just gonna reach back out to the guy from the first one. And maybe we could go in and, like, talk. And so we did. And so we ended up booking the first place that we went to. It just stayed on our hearts. I'm so glad that we didn't continue touring and go see like, you know, 10 places. Some of my friends saw a million places. They spent months searching, which is why people have long engagements. But yeah, people were like, you're not going to have anything available. And we toured 5 places that had available dates. The 5th one was very limited. I say they didn't have anything, but they did. It's just that they mostly had like Fridays. We really wanted a Saturday with like good weather and whatnot. So it was very limited in what they had. But regardless, 5 places with availability. I still was emailing with like 3 or 4 places that, you know, I was going back and forth with potentially that I was going to go book and tour. They all had availability. So for anyone who is engaged or is getting engaged and you also want to have a short-ish engagement, you can do it. Like, don't let people scare you. Places have availability. Luckily, like, we weren't dead set on anything. So that's the only piece of advice that I have is, like, if you do want to have a short-ish engagement, do not have your heart set on one place, one specific vendor. Like, that's one thing is like, I'm glad that I didn't have a certain photographer, a certain videographer. Like, nothing was very specific that I wanted. I have an array of people, you know, in mind, a list. A lot of people are not available. So I'm like, thank God I wasn't banking on that person. But a lot of people are. We're moving forward with our music situation. I already booked our content creator. I'm so excited. This content creator I've been following for years, even before I was engaged. They just like did like a lot of influencers I followed. They did the content creation for their wedding. So like I just always follow them. And they were available, so I got to book them. So I'm super excited about that. And yeah, like things are moving and grooving. I mean, if you can tell that I look disheveled, it's because this is all I've been doing. I've literally been, you know, that TikTok sound where it's like the typing. That's literally been me since we booked, because now it's like time to get the show on the road. And yeah, still have to book photographer, still have to book videographer. In the works of booking hair and makeup, I did find my makeup artist. She is available. So we're already talking, you know, going to move forward with the contract and all that. Hair, I don't always love like the way people do hair. So I'm a little bit more picky and I'm working on that. And then you know what, girls, I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of things that I'm not doing that are like, you know, here's the thing. Let me say this differently. I think that from seeing everyone else's weddings, there is the pressure of thinking that you have to do all of these things because this is what you do at weddings. Example being a seating chart, which is when you walk into a wedding and it's like a nice, big, beautiful wall, a big chart, a big wall, a big whatever to do that says every single person's name and the table that they're sitting at. I planned on doing this. I actually did reach out to somebody and I do have to tell her that I'm not going to do it, but I planned on it. And then I was like, honestly, these details, certain things like that, like a seating chart, no matter how beautiful and amazing it is, they don't matter to anybody except for you. These are details that your guests look at for 5 seconds and then keep it moving. And I feel like I can't justify the price of things like that. Those details that as much as I like them, I don't need to pay for them thousands of dollars for my guests. Like the whole point is it's supposed to be for my guests, when my guests, quite frankly, don't care. Will my guests care if I have a table at the front door with just place cards, just standard place cards with their names and table number on it? No, they won't care. They won't even think about it. They're going to walk in, see a table with place cards on it, standard, you know, okay, here's Victoria Lario, you're at table 10, whatever. And pick up their name, their card, and keep it moving. They're not going to be like, no seating chart wall? What about a big extravagant seating chart wall? Like, I want to see my name on a wall, not on a place card. You know, like, again, people don't care. They don't even think about it. Another thing that you guys are going to think I'm crazy for not doing, but I will explain why, is florals. Now, florals are like, that's what you do at a wedding, right? Florals is the whole thing. Florals is the decor. It's the entire purpose of the wedding. The place that we booked is very different from other places in the sense that it is very fully decorated. Most places, including places that we personally went to see, are standard, you know, catering hall, wedding hall, whatever, where it's kind of more of a blank canvas. Everything is neutral, white, beige, ivory, whatever, neutral, gray, anything on that scale, and empty. And you fill it up with whatever you want to do. Be my guest. You could spend $50,000 on florals decorating a place like that. Not saying that you're going to, but you know, I have friends that spent $30,000 on their florals decorating the entire place. This place that we are going to has a lot to it. It has a lot of character, a lot of charm. It's beautiful. You don't have to really decorate it that much. With that, I had another vision already in mind. Quite frankly, even before we booked this place, I wanted to do this for a long time, is make my, do candle rentals, candles being the main decor. Instead of having flowers everywhere, I want to have candles everywhere. And that's not to say that candles are cheap, because trust me, they're not. I got the prices. It is to say that they are cheaper than florals. And like you can, even aside from price, because I'm not even really talking about the money. I'm just honestly saying that it's another thing that like you can do things differently. I think it is the standard mindset of like, okay, I need to spend thousands of dollars on flowers because florals is what everybody does for their wedding. That's what you do. If you have a wedding, you just book a florist, whatever. Obviously, I'm going to have a florist to do the basics, like my bouquet, like things like that. But what, a couple $100s? Like nothing crazy. And I think my wedding will be a prime example when it happens for you girls to see that it is possible, you know, to do something different. And maybe candles isn't your vibe either. You could do whatever is your vibe. It could be literally whatever you want. But again, it's really not, it's not even just about money, because the candles are really not like cheap, but they, that you do save in that way from, you know, doing that instead of flowers. But it works out because I always loved a big like candlelit vibe. Like I like the room to be really dim and just like the drama of candles. I think that they are so, so, so beautiful. So yeah, that's, I'm excited to do that. So yes, we're doing things a little bit differently, with some things. There are just things that to me is like not important. And I, even like having a bridal party, like we're not having bridesmaids and groomsmen. I do think that we're going to do like a maid of honor and a best man, like just to have like one-on-one, but I don't want to do bridesmaids. I never really wanted to. Quite frankly, I never wanted to do a maid of honor either because I don't have a sister and I know that I'll never be picked to be anyone's maid of honor who's in my life. Every single one of my girlfriends and my first cousins all have sisters. My first cousins are sisters with each other. So there you go. I was not my older cousin's maid of honor. And I probably would not be my younger cousin's maid of honor either because she would pick her sister. So they would pick each other. And all of my best friends have sisters. I am the lone soldier with only a brother. And you guys probably don't even know that I have a brother, but I do. I feel like I give I give only child energy. People always tell me that I seem like an only child. I am not. I have an older brother. And so in any case, I like didn't even care ever to have a maid of honor, but I think actually that you're like supposed to. I feel like at church you have to have like a witness, like whatever, something like that. So whatever, we'll figure that out. But my point is we're not doing a bridal party. Again, not that that's anything that like costs you money, but like it's just things you don't have to do just because you see everyone else doing it. So yeah, a lot of things that we nixed, a lot of things that we're doing differently. And I'm excited about it. Like, I feel good about it. Obviously, I'm stressed too because, you know, it's going to be in a few months and I don't have a dress. So March is my month of like dresses, dresses, dresses. I booked 4 bridal dress shop appointments, the last one being March 19th. And so I'm hoping that by that one, like, okay, good. I found my dress out of these 4 places. I hope that I commit to one dress. And then like from there, I'm done. I'll pay whatever rush fee I gotta pay and, you know, get this show on the road. But that's really that. I feel like once my photographer and videographer are booked and like my hair and makeup are booked and obviously the dress, everything else is like gonna, you know, kind of fall into place and be simple as far as like doing the candles. I already have the girl for the candles. It's not booked, but I already have her. We're like, you know, in talks. All those, you know, other details are gonna come along. And yeah, I just wanna let you girls know that it's possible. The only reason why I think anyone's engagement would be super long is because of the fact, like when it comes to a wedding, other, like obviously people could have long engagements just simply because they want to have a long engagement. But aside from that, I mean, wedding wise is just because they're very, very specific. I want this place. I want this person. I want this, that, like was not that. So if you are, then okay, give yourself more time. And if you're not, then yeah, you can do something within, you know, 6, 7, 8 months like I'm doing. It might drive you crazy. It might drive you crazy, but it's possible. Now, aside from all that, today we are going to be talking about communication and more specifically, comprehension. Because communication is not the goal, comprehension is. There's that saying that I think I said recently in the episode I might have been talking about. What episode was that? I think it might have been the episode Healing Your Inner Child from January 27th. I might be wrong. I don't know exactly which episode I said it in. But I was saying, make sure that you surround yourself with people who speak the same language as you. Otherwise, you're going to spend a lifetime translating your soul. And that's kind of like a perfect saying, if you will, for just the understanding and the concept of that, like, comprehension is a lot more important than communication. Because if you are surrounded by people who don't get you, don't understand you, who need you to translate everything, over-explain everything, defend yourself all the time, then it doesn't matter what you say. And it doesn't matter how many times you say it. Because you could tell someone over and over and over, this hurts my feelings. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. This bothers me. This is affecting me. But if they don't comprehend it, it doesn't matter. It might as well go in one ear and out the other. So I would say that a prerequisite for having the best communication, and this could mean romantically, platonically, like whatever, just like with the relationships in your life, having good communication and feeling like you could really open up to someone and all of that. A prerequisite is to have a person, period, in your life that you can talk to, that it doesn't feel like talking to a wall, someone that you know you can get through to. I know that we can't blame ourselves. It's not your fault if what you're saying is falling on deaf ears. It's not your fault that they are adamant on like just not understanding you. It's on them, obviously, but it is on you to know who you're working with here. If it is, you know, in regards to dating and relationships, you should be doing your due diligence when dating. You should be vetting. You should be seeing how this person communicates with you. You should be seeing the type of listener they are, the type of communicator they are, how empathetic and compassionate they are. Do they care, you know, when you talk about certain things? Like, this is your role and your job in the dating phase to, you know, see how the communication style goes with this person. If it does have to do with, you know, more platonic relationships like friendships, you know, family members, then you should know that there are certain people who are like that, that you need to keep at an arm's length. Just because someone is a family member doesn't mean that you don't have to have boundaries with them. Just because you went to elementary school with a friend doesn't mean that they're your best friend just because you have history with them. History means nothing if this person does not get you, you know? So a prereq off the bat to having stellar, you know, unreal, open communication where you feel like you could fully connect with someone is really knowing your audience, you know who you're working with, know your community, know the type of person they are, know how they speak. That's another thing that would be like my second tip, honestly. Aside from knowing who they are, know how they speak and know how they receive things and respond to things, because it's not to say that everyone has to communicate like you, because we all communicate differently. So yes, they need to understand you. No, they don't need to be exactly like you. We're all different and we can love people who are different than we are. But you need to be aware of how they operate before you ever confront this type of person, before you ever really try to have certain conversations. Because if you have a friend that you know gets like super defensive, you know that it's really hard to approach them with things because off the bat they're like just ready to fight, they're ready to argue, they get really defensive, they get really offended. Like, if you know that the person's like that, then you can never go into a confrontation with them being like accusatory, you know, and saying like, you did blah, 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 like finger pointing and whatnot, because you already know what type of reaction you're going to get. If you're trying to have like a calm, cool, collected, mature conversation, and you're trying to be productive and get somewhere with that person, then you should know how to approach them. Say that your partner is very sensitive, you know, and like gets really hurt and gets really upset. Same thing. You should know how to approach him or her. If there is an issue, if there is something going on, you know that you don't want to, you know, say something that makes them feel like you're putting the blame on them right away, because you know that they get like really worked up and really upset. Like, maybe they don't get angry, but they, you know, feel really bad about themselves, or they're very sensitive. You might hurt their feelings. So it's important that you know who you're working with, because then you know how to approach them and handle, you know, situations. And that too will lead to stronger comprehension skills. Because if you communicate with people in the style that they receive well, then they will comprehend better. But if you are just like, say it's a toxic trait of yours that you just like jump the gun, you just get straight into it. Like, I'm upset. I'm hot and bothered. I'm angry. And I'm just going to, you know, attack and go for it. Then you know that that's not really not going to get you anywhere. So these things are very important. Third, and I would say most important, is you practicing your communication skills, you practicing instilling and enforcing boundaries, saying yes when you mean yes and saying no when you mean no. By the way, while I'm saying this right now, I'm in the process of creating a workbook. Boundaries and saying yes and no just kind of came to me because that's what I was just working on in the workbook. It's going to be a totally digital downloadable workbook. It'll be super cheap. If you're hearing this like far in advance, then that means it's already available on my website, victorialario.com. If you're hearing this in real time, it's probably not up yet. I'll tell you girls when it's coming out, but that workbook is going to be really, really, really good. And like I said, instant download, really cheap, not like some, you know, big investment or anything like that. Of course, I also have the Queens of Confidence, the digital program, that 8-week program that you girls can watch. That's also pretty inexpensive, but of course more because that's an 8-week coaching program. But in any case, just putting it out there that that is an option on my website, victorialario.com. But yeah, the digital download thing, whatever, the workbook is coming soon. So I'm excited for that. But in any case, what I was saying was, one, you need to be doing this work. You need to be instilling and enforcing your boundaries. You need to know how to speak your truth. You need to know and have the self-awareness of knowing who you are, what you believe, what's true for you, what matters to you. And be able to stand on that. Be able to double down and say, this is how I'm feeling. This is what bothers me. Right in the moment. Listen, like I said, everyone has different communication styles. So you might be the type of person who needs to let something marinate first. Say that somebody did something that upset you. And right then and there in that moment, you don't say anything because you just kind of take it in. You digest it. And then days later, you're like, hey, so that thing the other day really upset me. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's how you best, you know, operate, then do what you got to do. I'm not the judge here to tell you how you're supposed to communicate. But what I am going to say is it is helpful and it is important to be able to, in the moment, be able to call something out and stop it from continuing. Say that you have a friend who, you know, says rude things to you in front of other people, makes you feel uncomfortable, makes a passive aggressive comment, makes like an under, you know, their breath sort of comment, something rude. Like, you know, when you have someone in your life that you're just like, why are you talking to me like that in front of people? That type of thing right there. Know how to stand up for yourself. Know how to call it out. You know how to communicate. That's unacceptable. You're not going to talk to me like that. I'm not here for that. I'm not down with that. So with that being said, it's extremely important that you know how to best communicate your own feelings. You also know how to best communicate with the people in your life, your romantic or platonic, you know, relationships, and you know what works individually for those people. And you also know that you already have good enough people in your life who may not be the most like attacking type of person. You know, like you already know, you did the vetting, you have the relationship or you have the friendships of people who are already decently good people. So you know off the bat that they're not the type who's going to jump down your throat every time that something upsets you. All of this is important because here's the thing. If you do all this work and you're like, okay, I'm really working on communicating, I'm going to tell them directly over and over and over what to do, what not to do. None of that will matter if it's not comprehended. Wow, I hope comprehended is a word. I'm talking about communication, but the word comprehended does not sound right. I don't know. That's terrible. Hopefully that's a legitimate word. The entire point is that you want to make sure that you're understood. And the only way to know that you're understood is by observing what happens next. Paying attention to future behaviors, because you could tell somebody something and if nothing changes, then nothing changes. If they do the same shit, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you said because it fell on deaf ears. They did not comprehend it. They did not understand it. Quite frankly, there's also the option that maybe they didn't want to. Maybe they don't care. So you need to know, like, you need to actually do your due diligence of paying attention to how people react and respond and move forward with what, you know, with what you're telling them. Because if they don't care, you need to know that they don't care. You need to see it for yourself that they don't care. Actions speak louder than words. So say that you had an argument and you told them straight up and they said, okay, I got it. Next time it won't happen. But then it happened again. Now you know, okay, you just don't care. And you can no longer have this role in my life because I need somebody in this role who does care. Somebody who gives a fuck about my feelings and would not want to hurt me again and again and again. Somebody who would say, I'm so sorry, like, never again. And then it's never again. Because that's the whole point. Never again. That the whole point of apologizing is that you're sorry for what you did and you hate that you did that. I cannot believe I hurt your feelings in this way. I cannot believe I spoke to you like that or did that to you. And also, it's not only about arguments or fights or needing to, like, apologize. It's also about communication just in regards to letting your desires be known, letting your desires be heard. We have a Dear Victoria submission right on this topic, so I'm going to talk about that in a second. But it's not always about a negative thing, because sometimes communication is about a positive thing. It's about moving forward. It's about being better. It's about progressing this friendship, this relationship, whatever it is. So you don't only have to practice your communication skills so that you're ready to go. Like, you're ready to put your dukes up and fight. You're ready to confront when something goes wrong. Not necessarily. Sometimes there's no problem whatsoever. Things are going great. But you're like, I just, like, this is on my mind, or this is bothering me, or, like, this is just something that I'm feeling, and I want to make sure that this person knows that. I want to make sure they know where I'm coming from. Even if it's, like, something personal in your life, say that you just started seeing somebody, and there's something, you know, that you have going on. Maybe you're dealing with something heavy, you know, something personal. Maybe you're having a problem in your life. Maybe something to do with your family. And you're like, all right, well, I'm not going to tell somebody that I just met once or twice. But now, you know, I've been going out with this guy for a few weeks. I really like him. And, you know, I need to start to tell him a little bit more about me. I feel like I'm, like, withholding this information because, you know, he was a stranger and I didn't want to, like, just outright say something at first. That too, you know, is very important in regards to communication and comprehension. You want to approach these certain conversations of just like, hey, like, you know, I've really been enjoying getting to know you. And as I am, like, trusting you more and feeling more and more comfortable with you, there's something that, you know, I want to share with you. I want to tell you about myself. And it's, you know, X, Y, Z. And it's like, you're communicating clearly on what this thing is, but you're also saying, like, these kind words, you know, thrown in there of, like, I trust you with this. I am enjoying talking to you. I'm enjoying getting to know you. I want you to know more about me. I want to be vulnerable with you. I want to open up with you. Think about, like, I haven't watched it in years, but I think back to, like, The Bachelor. For some reason, that just kind of, like, reminded me of, you know how, like, they always pick people for The Bachelor that have, like, a sob story? And it's, like, it's not until the one-on-one that, like, they get into it. And it's always like, a parent died, or I have this health issue. They never, ever, ever have anyone on the show who, like, doesn't have these sort of issues. So it's always like, okay, it's time for the one-on-one, which means it's time for me to really open up and be vulnerable and tell him this thing. So that's what I just thought about with that. But, like, it's truly just about, you know, as you are getting more and more comfortable with someone, you want to be able to better communicate with them. Vulnerability is very important. And making sure that they know how vulnerable you're being so that they could see that, you know, instead of you just, like, passing off something serious as a joke, it's like, no, this is something that I actually dealt with in my life that really affected me. And so now I have these certain behaviors or beliefs because of it, and I trust you enough to tell you. So, you know, it's super important that you are regularly practicing and doing these things. The workbook is going to be really great for this because I have so much in there in regards to this, in regards to opening up and, you know, just feeling more confident, like being your best self in order to communicate with people. But most importantly, communicating in a way that what you're saying is heard, and not just physically heard in their ears. I'm saying heard emotionally, mentally. You want to make sure that that person makes you feel safe and makes you feel heard through their actions, through the way that they respond, and not just by saying, oh, okay, cool. You know what always bothered me, actually, thinking of like The Bachelor, Bachelorette, whatever, when the girl or the guy would say something really vulnerable and the lead, the bachelor or the bachelorette, would say, thanks for sharing that with me. I actually just like snorted and gagged on that. Like, what a snooze. Like, someone just poured their heart out to you and you're like, thanks for telling me. It's like, I don't know. I just feel like it's very robotic. Not to say that there's a lack of empathy, but there kind of is. Like, there's a lack of like discourse, I feel like. A lack of like them also contributing to the conversation. It's more of just like, okay, like, I'm glad you told me. By the way, I'm not giving you this rose. Like, you know, it's just so, I don't know. There's a lack of like depth there. And so I think in the real world, unless it's just the way that it's edited, but in the real world, I don't know. Like, if someone's confided in me and things like that, I've never responded like, thank you for sharing that with me. It just feels so unnatural. It feels very scripted. It feels very robotic, like I said. And yeah, I think it's really important that they respond to you with empathy, you know, when you are sharing certain things like this, and that you can pick up on that and you could judge like, okay, I really felt safe with this person and I felt heard. So it's not just to say like you need to know how to communicate when the times are tough. It's you want to know how to communicate when, you know, things are good too. I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by hormonal changes? Well, girls, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. Our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. And then, of course, there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through too. Menstrual cycles, menopause, and even though it's a natural process, it doesn't make it any easier to go through. But the good news is that we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. It contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, which help the body adapt to any stressors, like all chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So it's perfect for women who struggle with all different life-disrupting symptoms, such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, or uncontrollable cravings, menopause symptoms such as hot flashes and night sweats, or even poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or even occasional bloating and gas. So in other words, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is here to make women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They made no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire order at happymammoth.com. Just use code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off today. Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, It's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings. They're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Clubs and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself. Because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone. Which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out. Because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence. Worth every penny." And I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite, and your everyday examples really drive your points home. So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself, you're worth it, and your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalario.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now. So with all that being said, like I mentioned, there is a Dear Victoria submission that we're going to get into, and we'll do that right now. For those of you who need advice from me, you can email me to victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com. Make the subject Dear Victoria so that I know that that is what it is in regards to, so it goes into the right folder. I get so many emails and it would get lost if you do not make the subject Dear Victoria. So let's get into it. Dear Victoria, I'm dating in my mid-20s and was hoping you could clarify about pulling back energy in the dating stage versus relationship. It's easy for me to pull back in early stages and move on, but when a boyfriend of mine does something that hurts my feelings or he stops putting in initiative or plans, I feel like I should communicate how I feel if we are in a relationship and not just pull back my energy. I don't want to throw a fit by pulling away or giving the silent treatment, as that feels manipulative and like poor communication to me. Can you help on how to communicate in different stages of dating for me? Okay, first of all, you're 100% right. It is not mature in the slightest to just, you know, give the silent treatment, especially like you said, to a boyfriend. In those early dating stages, here's the thing, okay? If you listen to my very first podcast episode ever, it's called We Don't Match Energy, We Maintain Ours. And why I'm bringing that up right now is because I think that that rings true here. Yes, in those early dating stages, you don't owe anybody anything. Maybe it's a first date, a second date. This is pretty much a stranger. So do I think that you need to go all in and like blah, blah, blah? Not necessarily. What I think is that you need to be true to who you are. That's why I say we don't match energy, we maintain ours. Because even if you didn't hear from someone and whatever, it's like, yeah, you could match that energy and ghost them. You know, you could match that energy and just, you know, be dead and gone with it. Or if your true energy is eating at you, being like, I really want to say something. I really want to speak my mind. I really want to defend myself. I really want to tell them what they did was wrong. Like, if you feel that calling, then you should go for it, which would mean communicating clearly and upfront from day one. I don't necessarily think that there is one size fits all of like, here's the timeline of how you communicate. When you're not together, this is what you do. When you're together, this is what you do. I think at the end of the day, you should always be true to you, no matter what that looks like. So if in those non-exclusive, you know, just talking stages, you're like, I'm just gonna let this go and peace out. And I don't even, this guy doesn't, I don't owe him anything. He doesn't deserve to hear anything. Okay, cool. Peace out. But if you're the type who's like, no, I'm going to stay true to me. And who cares? He's the one missing out, not me. I don't care if I send him this novel and he doesn't respond. I'm not sending this for a response. I'm sending this just to speak my peace and speak my mind because that's what feels right for me. Then, you know, go for it. So I just wanted to put that out there. But now, once you are exclusive or in a relationship with someone, say that they are your boyfriend, communication is everything because that's how you're going to get to comprehension. No one's going to comprehend your true feelings by doing the silent treatment or pulling back your energy. And, you know, we're girls. We've all been there and done that. Sometimes you just like want them to figure it out. You don't want to have to say anything. You're like, I don't want to have to tell you what you did wrong. You should know what you did wrong. And so I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to give you the silent treatment until you come kissing my ass. You know, like every girl kind of like goes through that. And sometimes it's more like it's not even a serious fight. It's just like what they did pissed you off. It's like, oh, you didn't take out the garbage. Okay, I'm not talking to you tonight. Like, you know what I mean? Like it could be something so lighthearted that it's just whatever. Or it could be something toxic, but whatever. I digress. My point is, Every girl like does that at a point, but that cannot be your communication style. That cannot be your style of when, like you said, when my boyfriend does something that hurts my feelings or stops putting in initiative for plans, that you're never, he's never going to know what he's doing wrong. Cause you have to remember that no one is a mind reader. So that's the most important thing is like, if you want something, if you desire something, you have to ask for it. If you don't ask, the answer will always be no. If you don't tell them, then nothing will come of it. Like I just said before, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So no one's a mind reader, and it's very toxic to ever expect that. You know, a lot of girls do pull back their energy or do the silent treatment, even when it is something really serious like that, that's really hurting them or bothering them, and they expect their partner to just know. But you wouldn't want someone to do that to you. What if you subconsciously did something? Let's say, for example, that your boyfriend is a great, great, great guy. And maybe in the beginning, he planned tons of dates and did all this stuff. And now he hasn't because he just like was the type to think, okay, we're comfortable. We're in this relationship. I'm busy with work. I love her. She loves me. Like we don't have to date as much. But maybe it bothers you because it's very, very, very important to you. If he didn't realize or if he didn't know that it's important to you, he's not going to know by you not telling him. He's only going to know by you telling him. And this goes back to what I said in the very beginning about how important it is to vet and know who you're in a relationship with, because you want to know that if you do voice to him that it bothers you that he hasn't taken you on a date, you want to know that he's not going to turn around and be like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I already took you on 10 dates when we first started going out. Why do I need to still? Like, you want to make sure that he's not that kind of guy anyway. So that's why vetting is very important, because you want to know that if I'm going to communicate that you have stopped, you know, putting in certain energy or you're doing something that hurts my feelings, that he will be receptive to that. So that's why it's very important to know who we're working with. But that's also why it's very important to know what you want to say and how you want to say it and, you know, practice your communication, because you want to know what the right way, how the right way is to approach someone with this. Now, I also think that really tapping into your feminine energy is very important for communication. I know that I've talked about this a million times. This is in my Queens of Confidence digital program. I talk about feminine energy. It's in tons of podcast episodes. Following me on TikTok, you know, you'll come across me saying that time and time and time again. it's very important that you know how to communicate from a feminine energy standpoint rather than masculine energy, because you're speaking from the heart. You're speaking with a softer energy where your intention is to have a positive, you know, helpful result. You're not speaking from a place of like, I'm trying to control the situation. I'm, you know, the head bitch in charge here. Like, I want to, you know, you're doing this wrong and I'm going to finger point and I'm going to tell you that you're not doing the right thing. Obviously, you don't want to approach anything like that in any case, but you also really just in general don't want to lean into your masculine energy when communicating, because that's when you start to teeter on the line of like, I'm the leader here and I'm going to tell you how this show goes, and you don't want to do that. So communicating from your feminine energy is a much kinder way of speaking, and it'll still make them feel like they are in their masculine. Like if you go at them in your masculine and it kind of like shifts the energy and then puts them into their feminine, or puts them into a toxic masculine where they feel like they got to get on the like defense, they got to get on defense mode. That's when things start to get a little sticky. But you get to keep that balance. You get to keep that harmony of like the masculine and feminine energy, you know, intertwining and working together and bouncing off of each other when you communicate from your feminine, and he gets to still stay in his masculine and feel, you know, good. And with that being said, some examples of like things that I've said in general in regards to speaking from your feminine would be like, instead of approaching a problem from a negative standpoint of like, you never plan dates for me anymore, what's the deal? You approach it from a positive standpoint of like, I love when you plan dates. Like, I really miss our date nights. We haven't gone on one in a while. So you're giving him like that positive affirmation and reinforcement of like, I love this thing that you do. But you're also telling him like, it's kind of a problem too, you know, like I'm upset. I miss these date nights. We haven't gone on them. Now, granted, that can also only go so far, you know, if he's not the type of person who's picking up what you're putting down. So that's how I would start the conversation and like approach it. But then you could also, you know, shift the tone to get a little bit more serious. So you could approach it by saying like, I love when you plan dates, date nights. I miss our date nights. I have so much fun when I'm out, you know, with you. And I feel so like romantic and whatever. And then if he's like, you know, brushes it off of just like, yeah, I know, like, and doesn't really get the hint. If he doesn't turn around and say, you know what, I'm booking dinner for us tonight, babe, then you could start to get a little bit more serious and let him know, like, no, I'm being serious. Like, we haven't been on a date in a while. And, you know, like, I feel better. Like, I just feel so great in our relationship when we do those things. And like, it doesn't really feel great that we haven't done that. It doesn't feel great that like you haven't, you know, thought to take me out or wanted to take me out. So like, that's when you can start to get a little bit more serious by saying that it does not feel good that he has not done that for you. Of course, you want to stay as kind as possible because you're like trying to get a good thing out of this. You're not trying to start an argument. It's not like me versus you. It's just like, I want us to do this thing. Like, I want you to, you know, want to take me out. So like, you want to, it's a kind thing that you're like fighting in favor of wanting to spend more time with him and wanting to have more romantic time with him, you know? So that's the kind of way that I would really like approach those sort of things. When it comes to like, if he does something that hurt you, I would just be very straight up about it and just say like, you know, it does not make me feel good when you say things like that or when you do things like that. Like, this actually really hurts me and it really bothers me. And I would ask like, what did you mean when you said that? What was your goal when you did that? Like, what was your intention here? Because it actually was very hurtful. And now like, you know, my feelings are hurt and it doesn't make me feel like I trust you with my feelings. Like, I want to feel safe with you, emotionally safe. Sometimes I feel like when guys hear that, they think that you're talking about physically. That's just guys. But us women know that we mean emotionally safe. We want to know that like, you would never intentionally hurt me, you know? So you want to know what his intentions are. And I would just be direct. I mean, you didn't give context as to like, you literally said like, if my boyfriend hurts my feelings, you know, so I don't really know what that means, but whatever it is that he did, I would say in black and white, straight up, like, this thing that you did, like, I really don't appreciate that. Like, I don't like that. And honestly, it's not going to fly with me moving forward. Like, you did it now, you did it once, and like, I'm letting you know that it hurts me. But if it happens a second time, like, then we're gonna have a bigger problem. I'm not gonna make a big problem out of it the first time, but the second time, it's really like, it's not to be like threatening, but it's just like, it's really not gonna slide under the rug that quickly next time. Like, we're gonna have to really sit down and talk about this, but I'm just giving you the heads up now that like, it hurt that you did that. So it's kind of like, sometimes the first time, you know, when you know who this guy is, you know he's a good guy, you know he has good intentions, you know that he would never intentionally hurt you, you're kind of just giving him the heads up, like, we're not doing that, we're not going to do that, that doesn't fly with me, that doesn't feel good, you know? So like, you don't have to make an argument out of every single thing. Sometimes it's just like an innocent thing, or, you know, like, not to say innocent, but like an ignorant thing. He didn't know. That's it. You know, he just didn't realize, he didn't know. And so with that, you're like, okay, I know that this person means well. I know that their intention here is not, you know, to hurt me. So we let it slide once. We don't let it slide twice. If you're a little bit more cutthroat, you know, and you're like, I won't let anything slide once, then if the result was like break up, like if the thing he did that hurt your feelings is unforgivable, if it was something major, then what if, you know, if it's coming down to that, then you are very directly clear, like, this is the problem, this is the deal breaker, and this is why we're done now, you know? Other things in general, in regards to speaking from your feminine energy, you know, there's all different ways that, you know, you could be practicing this with all different situations and scenarios. So there's a million different examples, but the one that I like to give, since we were talking about dates, is in regards to planning a date, because that's another thing. Like, this could happen whether it's a brand new guy you're going out with or a man you've been with for 5 years. They always want to ask you, where do you want to go? And it doesn't matter if it's a brand new guy you're dating or your partner of a million years. Girls want to feel pursued, and they want to feel like you are taking them out and you are planning the day for them. The way that you would respond to that is, you tell me, I trust your judgment. Or you could say like, I trust you, you pick and surprise me, you know, something like that. It's flirty. It's direct, and it's like telling them like, no, I want you to do it, but it's not saying, no, I want you to do it. It's just like, you tell me, or you surprise me. Like, I totally trust your judgment. Saying I trust your judgment is the key part here. Because you're literally saying like, I trust you to figure it out. And I've had hundreds of girls tell me, because I always say that, tell me like, I try that. And he turned around and said, you shouldn't, I don't know anything. And I'm like, okay, well then I wouldn't go out with that person. If I said, I trust your judgment to a guy and he said, you shouldn't, absolutely not. Like, there's no way. Like, oh, don't trust me, you definitely shouldn't. Okay, thank you so much for telling me in advance. And now I don't need to waste my time on you. Peace out. And it's like, my whole thing is always like, when it comes down to like, where to go, what to do, it's like, you don't live in another country, right? And even if you did live in another country, how do you plan vacation? Say that you're talking to somebody, say you're in New York, and the guy who wants to take you out is from Italy, but he's in New York right now. Let me tell you something, I'm from New York. I've been to Italy. I've never asked an Italian, where do I go? What do I do? I figure it out. I Google it. I look around. Like, you find places to go. You could literally Google best restaurants in this area or whatever. Like, you could look it up on TikTok. TikTok is a search engine. Like, there's just no excuse, even if he is from another country. Okay? So even if this person came from another country, they could find a restaurant. But most likely they're not. Okay? So say that they're from your town or the town over. They know the areas, they could do the work, they could figure out where to go. So if they're going to tell you, oh no, I don't know, I can't figure it out, it's like, okay, you're a loser, honestly. So in that case, I wouldn't even talk to that person anymore. But that's just the route I would go. I trust your judgment, you tell me, or, you know, surprise me, whatever it is. Speaking from a feminine energy standpoint, like I said, reinforces that like positive affirmation of like, you got this. I trust you. I love when you do this. I also used to always pull the whole I love a man with a plan thing. I said that to my fiance before we ever met. He asked me what I liked to eat. He did not ask me where I want to go. He just asked me what I like to eat. And so I had said that I like sushi and that I love a man with a plan. And so he came up with a plan and took me to get some sushi, you know? So it's just like, you put that confidence in them. You instill confidence in them and then they'll want to do it. They're going to want to do something way more by you doing that than by you like nagging and being nasty and being rude and being like, oh, you never take me on dates or you never pick the restaurant. That's not going to get somebody excited about doing it. What's going to get a man wanting to like make you happy is you being super appreciative of it. I love when you take me on dates. I miss our date nights. I trust your judgment. You know, when you pick something, surprise me. I just really think that words of affirmation are big here when it comes to repositioning them and getting them like back where you want them. And listen, you don't want to always have to do this, because it's like, all right, if I've already voiced to you once, I miss our date nights, I love when you plan date nights, and so then you take me on a date maybe once or twice, and then after that, we go months again without going on dates. Like, okay, this is a problem. But this is why I say communication is not the goal. Comprehension is. Because now look at what happened. You communicated. So you got the short-term results. You communicated that you like to go on date nights. So he took you on a date or two. But he didn't really comprehend how important it is to you, because now it stopped. And now you'd have to bring it up again. And the whole point of comprehension is like, don't make me tell you the same thing twice. Don't make me bring up the same thing more than once. If I told you once and you heard me and comprehended what I'm saying, then this should be done and over with right then and there. And so that is why it's very important to know that they understood what you're saying. Communication is not the goal. Comprehension is. So then what would happen if you did, you know, you expressed about wanting to go on dates, he took you on one or two, and then it went right back to square one. That's when, again, you have a more serious conversation saying, okay, what got lost in translation here? Because I'm really appreciative and I'm happy that you took me on that other date the last time, but I want to always feel like you want to take me out on dates. You know, you used to do it in the beginning. Then you did it when I told you about it, but now we're back to square one. And like, I don't want to feel this way with you. I don't want to feel like we're losing our romance. I don't want to feel like we don't date each other, because it's important to me that we always date each other and we continue to date. Because just because you're in a relationship doesn't mean you're not dating anymore. Dating means going on dates. So you could be dating someone that you're exclusive with, and you could be dating someone that you're not exclusive with. That's why I always hate like all the different titles and whatnot of exclusive and not exclusive. Like, dating is just dating. It means going on dates. So if he's your boyfriend and takes you on dates, you're dating. If he's not your boyfriend and takes you on dates, you're dating. Point blank. So you want to tell him, it's important to me that we continue dating and that it feels like we're dating. So I hope that, you know, covers everything. If anybody has any further questions, please let me know. If you're watching on Spotify, you can comment in the, you know, comment box of this episode. I always reply to comments, so I will get back to you there. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please, please, please leave a review and a rating. If you're watching on YouTube, you could comment there. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And like I said, if anyone needs any advice from me, my email is victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com. And the subject line has to be Dear Victoria for a chance to be used on an upcoming episode. I briefly mentioned some coaching stuff, so you could head to victoriaalario@aol.com, where you could get the Queens of Confidence digital program. You can inquire about one-on-one private coaching with me, because I always offer that. And soon I will have a very, very, very low-priced digital downloadable workbook on there for you girls to check out. But that is all that we have for today. Thank you girls so much for listening. Until next time, girls. I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalario.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalario.com.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.